congregation please rise in our processional hymn, it's hymn number 781, Children of the Heavenly Father, 781. Confession of forgiveness on page 95 in the front of the hymnal, and make use of the kneelers if you so desire. Confession of forgiveness found on page 95. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Our hymn of praise this day is hymn number 876. We sing verses 1 and 3 only at this time. 876, let the whole creation cry, verses 1 through 3.
and 3. We pray this prayer together in unison. Let us pray. Almighty God, faithful Father, merciful Judge, you care for your children with firmness and compassion. By your Holy Spirit, nurture us who live in your kingdom, that we may be rooted in the way of your Son, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You can be seated.
For today is from the 44th chapter of Isaiah, verses 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is verses 11 through 17 of Psalm 86. We'll read with you replying in the bold print. Teach me your way, O Lord,
that I may walk in your truth.
Give me an undivided heart to revere your name.
I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart.
And I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol.
You
rise up against me, O God. Band of violent people seeks my life. And they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me.
Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your handmaid.
Show me a sign of so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame.
Because you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the 8th chapter of Romans, verses 12 through 25. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. We were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today, the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once again, we stand in honor of the Word being in our midst, Christ being in our midst through the Gospel, but due to the length of the Gospel, I invite you to be seated so that you're not distracted by when I might be finished reading the Gospel. Matthew chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen." He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. And while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you will uproot the wheat. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned with fire, so will there be the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes for sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine like the sun in the kingdom. Let anyone with ears listen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your strength, in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. This will get better. There's always hope, right? And I'm not talking about the sermon right now either, okay? Some of you are looking at me like, yes, we have hope. Yes, it will get better. No, those are two phrases that we often hear within our community, in our lives, and our families. This will get better. There's always hope, right? There's always that question mark. The emphasis of our congregation this whole year of 2023 is I choose hope. It's in the bulletin every week. It's right there in big bold print. I choose hope. We have hope for the future. We have hope for the present. We have hope that indeed God is our God and with us. Once again, on my desk at the office here at church and in my office at home, I have the Bible, a hymnal, and Webster's Dictionary. I own two, one here and one home. I cracked it open again, because a few months ago I did the same thing, but I cracked it open to make sure I didn't forget, and I looked up hope in the dictionary. And the very first word after hope is trust. We are called to have hope. I choose hope is the emphasis of this congregation for this year. But there always is hope. Hope for the future, hope for the present, and hope now, because we trust God. And that's what hope is all about, trusting. I came across a theologian, Reverend Libby Howe. She's the coordinator for Peace and Justice Ministries in Wisconsin, the Holy Land, at the Wisconsin Council of Churches. And in her journal, she wrote this quote. The journal was April 2020. Do you remember back that far? That's over 3 years ago. April 2020. Okay, a month after the pandemic hit the world. Libby Howe, I will read them because they're wonderful. Hope is not something I find or stumble upon. Hope is the act of walking itself. It is the determination fueling the search for joy and dogged pursuit of something other than what I already know. It is the belief and trust in something that finds definition. I don't know where its edges are, and it has no handles. But I still have to hold on to it, even though it's slippery and misshapen and my grip is faltering. Whatever keeps me trying, that is hope. She then goes on to say, when the women went to the tomb that morning, hope was not what they came with. They came to find what they left to a tomb with a dead man's body in it. But when they got there, and it wasn't as they expected, hope was whatever pushed past their terror and opened the door of their minds and hearts to wonder, imagine, accept, and proclaim something completely beyond their conception. Hope buoyed them against debilitating embarrassment and fear. as they spoke the ridiculous to their grieving brothers in an upper room. I absolutely love that passage. It's because of hope from the tomb that the women could go back to the disciples in the upper room and share the good news. He's no longer there. He's risen, as he said he would do. And they did not believe or trust the women. In fact, one gospel writer says they thought the women were speaking garbage. The old English idle tale, but in the Greek, it's garbage. The men thought the women were speaking garbage. That's how much they did not trust and they did not hope. They had heard about the death. Only John was at the cross with the women who were brave enough to be there. But hope gave the women enough strength to be able to share the good news, even with these men who did not care or did not believe or trust. And as the hours pass, and as the events pass in Easter, Jesus coming behind locked doors and showing them their hands and his feet, Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus and having dinner with a couple of disciples and breaking bread with them, as we will break bread today, their hope was revived, and they began to trust once again. It's all about hope, folks. Trusting, believing in a future, in a present time. Believing that God is God and they care of us. That's why we sang the hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father. All you had to do was listen to the readings, right? God has adopted you as his sons and daughters. God loves you as his adopted children. God cares for you, forgives you, and is there for you. Then how many of us have that hope? How many of us have that trust that God indeed is with us? You were here on a hot Sunday morning. It would be easier to be anywhere else where it's air-conditioned. All right? Air-conditioning in the new car, by the way, works really good. It's the one thing that I get really used to. Yay! I can't wait. Patty Porth talked to me. I have a moonroof now for purpose. They call that cyber orange, too, by the way. I call it school bus yellow. Yeah. Izzy Davidson and I had a conversation about the first day I parked in the parking lot at Bible school. School bus yellow. Chuck Strong calls it safety yellow. The air conditioning works really, really good, but it has a moonroof, okay? It's not easy to drive a yellow car, so they call it cyber orange, but instead of a sunroof, they call it moonroof. I opened that thing up because I haven't had a moonroof since my VW Beetle. I left it open 365 days a year, let the snow and the rain come in and everything. I'm not going to do that with this car. But I opened the moonroof up, and Patty noticed that it was open. She goes, "You're going to be sorry," because the heat blazed in on the glass and warmed it up to 101 degrees inside the car. Air conditioning on maximum control wasn't enough. And so I believed her, I trusted her, and I shut the roof. I thought, October, I will open it up. And all through the winter, I'll have the moonroof open, and I'll be able to see the sky and everything else. It'll be wonderful. It's a matter of trust and faith and hope. The parable by Jesus in Matthew 13 is only found once in the Bible, Matthew 13. The wheat and the tares is the old English King James version of calling it. The wheat and the tares. Okay, it's the wheat and the weeds. And it's pretty self-explanatory, that and last week, when he explained sowing the seed on all the different kinds of ground. He explains it to the disciples, what it means. But I've got an old folktale that I want to share with you. An old folktale from the old country. You can decide what old country it comes from. And see what you think. The magic seed. Once upon a time, a thief was sentenced to death by hanging for stealing some bread. Before he was taken to the gallows, he was allowed to address the king. "Your Majesty," the thief said humbly, "I am the only man living who knows how to plant an apple seed that will grow and bear fruit overnight. To atone for my crime, I would like to teach you in your court the secret. I will need a shovel a handful of apple seeds, and a maiden who has never tasted love's first kiss. Eagerly, the king, his 13-year-old daughter, and all of his advisors and court gathered in an open field to learn this most wonderful secret. In the most elaborate manner possible, bowing and making dramatic gestures, the thief dug a small hole. "Now," the thief said, "the water must be poured in the hole by this tender maiden." The king's daughter stepped forward and carefully poured a small container of water in the freshly dug hole. "We are now ready for the actual planting," the thief said, addressing the whole assembly and group of people. "The seed can only be placed in the earth by someone who has never taken a single item that did them, no matter how small or how long ago. I would like to have my most trusted advisor, the Prime Minister, be the one who plants the magic seed in the ground," the king announced. Hesitating, the Prime Minister said meekly, "I'm afraid that I'm not eligible, Your Majesty. When I was a young boy, I took a jacket that was not mine." "Perhaps it's best that our loyal treasurer be the one to plant the seed," the king said quickly. "Majesty," the treasurer said with some embarrassment and hesitation, "you forget that in a previous position, I foolishly kept a small amount of money that did not rightfully belong to me." One by one, the king's advisors coughed and sputtered and explained meekly and honestly that they were not able to plant the seed. Finally, even the king admitted he took a small item that belonged to his father. When each had spoken, the thief addressed the king. "The members of your court are men and women of the highest ethical standards. They are recognized as devoted public servants, yet not one of them can say that they have never taken something that did not belong to them. How is it that I am to be hanged for taking a loaf of bread? You are a wise and crafty man," the king said to the thief. "I now give you a full and complete pardon of your crime." Who are the good seed and who are the bad seed? God will be the judge. Amen. Children of the Heavenly Father, because with all the children thing, take home the bulletin, read through the lessons again, and go, "Oh, that's what they were meaning." Same thing with the rock that was found in the first reading, okay? And so we sing hymn number 652 as our hymn of the day, "Built on a Rock the Church Shall Stand." It's a familiar tune. In fact, one of our confirmation students, I said it this morning, and she said the whole first verse to me without hesitation. So listen to the words as you sing this. They're really cool. They fit right in with our gospel reading for today. Hymn 652, "Built on a Rock, the Church Shall Stand."
Even when skin both are falling.
should arise from the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal, and for the prayers of the church. The Apostles' Creed, page 105, in these same words. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today in the prayers of the church, we remember in our prayers in the church, our Bishop Elizabeth Eaton and Megan Manlove. We pray this whole month of June for the Vocational Bible School program. It has ended, but we still pray for the students, the staff, the teachers, parents, and families that participated. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine, the war in Sudan. We pray for the people in California, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, the Gulf States, and Canada, suffering from the heat wave and wildfires. And we certainly pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these crises. Last week I tried and I didn't have it written in front of me, so this week we'll do it again. We pray a prayer of thanksgiving, joy, and celebration for the birth of Grayson Charles Cureton. The parents are Christopher and Amy Jo Cureton in North Carolina, but the great-grandmother is the important thing, Laverne Putnam. So we pray for Laverne and her newborn great-grandson, Grayson. We pray for the birth of Cooper Scott Anderson, parents Scott and Ashley Anderson, and the great-grandmother, Ann Brumfield. We remember her in our prayers too, and the whole family as we celebrate both. We don't have a great-grandson yet, do we? Okay, Fergusons are waiting. Gary Ferguson and Kim, they're waiting. We're waiting. I'm hoping. Okay. She's still praying for her, okay? So we'll pray for her next week, I hope. Next week. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, and for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. You call your church to announce the gospel of reconciliation and truth, both near and far. Guide your church as it seeks your wisdom and shares it, trusting, hoping your Spirit bears witness among us. Lord, in your mercy. Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. You bring forth all creation and call it. Instill in all people the need to be good stewards of all you give us. We pray for all farmers and laborers in the field. We pray for lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, or wildfires, especially Canada, Texas, California, Nevada, Arizona, and the Gulf States. We pray for those who lost property due to the flooding in Vermont. Lord, in your mercy. Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire that all the peoples of the world live in peace and harmony. Guide government leaders at all levels, national, state, and local, to work for mercy, liberty, and justice for all. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those whom we lift up before you in our own lives. Your steadfast love, grace, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. Give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church. Thank you for our youth,
their families, and all those who provide for our Vacation Bible School program this year. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of life, we pray for those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially those whom we lift up before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Give us calm and peace. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father. For the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Welcome to worship. Whoops. Okay, I'm going to stand up now. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of those who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Isaac Zavison and George Campbell. Happy birthday this week to Charlie Woodworth, Vicki Meadows, Diane Sims, Iris Sims, Arnold Burgermeister, Cassandra Tack, Flint Rabin, and Zoe Zavison. Happy anniversary this week to GR and Kelly Long. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or additions to the ones? Speak now or forever hold your peace. I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We will sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymnal. Page 144. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, and with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Amen.
which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 1 in the front of the hymnal, page 146. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Praise to you, O God of mercy. Thanks be to you forever. Raising high, going and lowly. Thanks be to you forever. From of old you loved and sought us. Thanks be to you forever. Truth and justice you have taught us.
Jesus the Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Carefully, the hymn was picked for a special reason. Hymn number 597. I think you'll be able to figure it out. Hymn 597, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.